be able to heal you. And by believing in your heart is to see what the word says, agree with the word, and meditate on the word. You know, sometimes you think, you don't wait until the last minute to start, you know, getting in the word and studying on healing. We need to prepare ourselves every day for, you know, the possibility of, you know, the enemy attacking our body. And we need that faith built up already in our hearts so we know how to stand against that attack. And understand, again, that God's word is his will. If we have the word to back it up, if we have his promises, and we have assurance that we can stand on his word. Okay, so we're going to be looking at some different, well, actually I have 101 scriptures, but don't worry, I'm not going to go through all 101. I'm only going to pick on some, but I'll send you the whole list. I've got like notes like this on healing, because I've been studying it for years. God has healed me. Hallelujah. He healed me of a gallbladder disease. You know, when the doctors wanted to take my gallbladder out, I said, uh-uh. And I started praying. And God showed me, again, number one, a natural way to flush out my gallbladder. And also, you know, changing my eating habits and believe in him. And when they did an x-ray on me, they didn't see anything. So, hallelujah. Again, God uses doctors, amen, but I always say they don't have the last word. Because doctors are trained in science, and everything for them is, you know, scientific. And I think they should bring in more of the faith aspect as well, and the importance of prayer along with the scientific. Okay, because a lot of times when you go to a doctor's office, you better be prepared to stand in faith, because you never know what they're going to say sometimes, you know. And it could put fear on you. It could give you a spirit of fear, you know. But I've learned, you know, we've learned how to stand on the word. And even with this situation that Minister Scott's going through, we have such a peace because we know God's word is true. And that he's healed of this bladder cancer in the name of Yeshua. And we're doing what the doctor says to do. But you know what? God, what the doctors can't do, God can do. So, and we've witnessed to the doctors and shared with them where our faith is. You know, and it kind of goes like, even Christian doctors, because they're so focused on... they're so focused on what they've been taught. And yes, the science factor is important. So you know how to apply your faith. Okay, this is where I need to zero in my faith. But we never, you know, just because they say, hey, this is hopeless, doesn't mean it's hopeless. Okay, because we look beyond what they say. I want to read this comment. This is actually from a book by Dr. McMillan. He's with the Lord now, but he was a Christian who was a doctor. And it's from his book, None of These Diseases. Now, I got a hold of this book almost 35 years ago. It's an excellent book. And this is just a quote from his book here. He says, emotional stress can irritate or precipitate heart attacks, strokes, ulcers, asthma, and many other diseases. And I can attest to asthma because whenever I get emotionally upset about something, my asthma kicks in. So that emotion is triggering something in my body to trigger that asthma. So I know, yeah, that happens. As physicians, we can prescribe medicines to palliate the symptoms, but we can do little to eradicate the underlying cause, emotional turmoil. After God led the Israelites out of Egypt, he promised his people that if they would obey his statutes, he would put none of these diseases upon them. Was this a trustworthy promise? Could submitting to a code of restrictive rules lead to freedom from sickness? Could this promise remain pertinent even in the 20th century? Yes! Exclamation point. Medical science is still discovering how obedience to the ancient prescriptions saved the primitive Hebrews from the scourges of epidemic plagues, and medical research is constantly proving the timeless potency of the divine prescription for modern diseases. Yes, obedience to biblical precepts is still the most effective way to prevent many of the afflictions of mankind. Peace does not come from capsules. Peace can only come from the source of peace, who said to his disciples, peace or shalom I leave with you, my shalom I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, John 14:27. So we have to make a decision that God's word is true, period. You know, we have to watch the words that come out of our mouth. And again, with healing is progressive. Okay, a miracle happens instantaneously. You know, so, like say somebody is, you know, all of a sudden is given the ability to walk. But healing is progressive. And we need to believe that we, just as you believe, you're saved. How do you know you're saved? Because the word says, if you believe, you know, that you put your faith in Yeshua, you're saved. Does it matter how you feel at times? No, because sometimes you may feel that God's 1,000 miles away, but his word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's, and in salvation, healing and deliverance and everything, our needs, our victories are all included in salvation. So the greatest healing that ever happened to us was salvation. And the rest of the package is, you know, again, if we believe what his word says and we take hold of that word and stand on his word and refuse to listen to the what ifs, because that's what the enemy, well, what if this and what if that? And you know, so-and-so, they died. And you know, so-and-so, they died. Well, I don't know what so-and-so was believing. I don't know if so-and-so maybe said, Father, I want to go to be with you. You know, that's between them and God. It's a personal walk. It's a personal faith. You know, we're going to be looking at these scriptures. Why? You know, yes, I want to, you know, when my time is up, I know I'm going to go be with the Lord. But you know what? I've got work to do. We've got a job to do. And guess what? I'm not done doing it yet. I know that I haven't finished. We haven't completed what God has called us to do. So let's look again at some of these scriptures regarding healing. We're going to look at healing first in the Torah because the Torah sets the precedent for healing. Let's look at Exodus 15:26. Let me get my Bible here. Like I said, I'm not going through every single one of these. I'm going to go through the ones that the Ruach lays on my heart. But what you need to do is, as well, whatever way works for you, okay, you need to commit these scriptures to memory. You need to get them into your heart. Not just give, you know, mental assent, because you know if you really believe the word when you come up into a crisis. Because what's coming out of your mouth? What you believe is what comes out of your mouth under pressure. And again, when we heard this bad report, you know, it's just, no, Father, you are the healer. We trust you. You know, we know your word is true. This is just, you know, the enemy trying to attack us. And we don't receive it, and it's going to be for your glory and to encourage others as well. So let's go to Exodus 15:26. And you know, again, you have to make the choice to believe God's word or not. Exodus 15:26. This is God's promises to his people Israel. If you are born again, you are grafted into the olive tree of Israel, which means you are grafted into their promises as well, and you are a part of spiritual Israel. You have been grafted in as a believer in Messiah. And he said, you will give earnest heed to the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases on which I have put on the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh, I am your healer. That's one of his covenant names, Yahweh Rapha, the Lord that heals me. Do you believe that? Amen. Because he said so. Hallelujah. If we didn't have the word to stand on, then we'd be on shaky grounds. But the fact is, he said he is Yahweh who heals us. And that needs to be our confession. I thank you, Father, no matter what. You know, how many here are standing for healing? I know I am. Hallelujah. Minister Scott is. Raise your hand.
Amen.
Hallelujah. By his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. And I believe in God and that this is going to be a place where people are going to come and receive the word and receive healing. Just as the first century church, as the signs and wonders followed the word. That was the precedence. They preached the word, signs and wonders followed. It wasn't just back for the first century. It was for every believer who would dare to stand on the word and proclaim the truth. And we're living in a world that needs to see that God is real and that he is the healer. Hallelujah. Many came to Messiah because of healing, the preaching of the word and healing. That was part of the gospel message. You know, redemption and then healing. And we're going to see how Yeshua as well went around healing. If healing was not in the Torah, if healing was not a covenant promise, Yeshua would have never been going around healing people. But he was showing this is God's will to be healed. And you have to get, the biggest your enemy is right up here. Because you know what? That's, the enemy's going to lie to you and say, do you really believe that? Do you really? Look what the report says. You know what so-and-so said? You know what you say? I don't care. It is written. Same thing Yeshua said. It is written. By the stripes of Yeshua, I am healed. It is written that he would put none of these diseases that he put on the Egyptians, for he is Yahweh, my healer, Yahweh, Rapha. We need to speak that word out in boldness. Speak it out, because as you speak the word, you're encouraging yourself, and you're letting the enemy know what you believe, and you know, you're letting God's angels know what you believe as well, because they hearken to the word of God. Let's go to Genesis 6:3. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. If we have the faith and God willing, we could live up to 120 years. You know, that's what God said. Well, you know, it says in another scripture, it's only 60 to 70. That was pertaining to those in the wilderness. That their lifespan would only be that, because that was the unbelieving generation that would die in the wilderness. Their max would have been 60, 70 years. But God said right here that we could live up to 120 if we want. If you get to the point, you know, Father, I'm done with my work. I know I've done all that you have me to do. I'm ready to go home. Hallelujah. You know what? I don't believe you have to go home sick. I believe all you have to go to sleep and you're with the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis 15:15. You shall be buried in a good old age. And here he's speaking to Abraham. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you will be buried at a good old age. So again, we can claim that. Father, you know, I thank you that why? Because we're children of Abraham. It says the blessings of Abraham are ours. As long as we're walking in obedience to him and doing what he has called us to do. Again, if you're walking in disobedience and you're doing things that are contrary to the word and you're doing things that are hurting yourself, then, you know, you need to change. You say, Father, show me where I need to change as far as how I'm eating, how I'm taking care of my body, what I need to do. But again, we've got a job to do. You know, it doesn't mean you say, well, people, you know, look at people that are murdered. Well, that's different. That's a different situation, okay? But as far as healing, God has promised us healing. You know, he said in Psalm 91, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Salvation is Yeshua in the Hebrew. And that includes healing, prosperity, deliverances, victories, everything we need to be successful in this life to do God's will. Because we have a job to do. Let's go to Exodus 12:13. Again, these are God's promises to his people. Are we his people? Yes, we are. Hallelujah. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So again, this is speaking of Passover, Pesach. God warned them, judgment was coming on the firstborn of Israel. I'm sorry, of the firstborn of Egypt. But all of Israel, in order to be protected from this plague, they had to put the blood on the doors. The blood of the lamb on the doors. If they didn't, they would have succumbed to the plague as well. But the blood covered them. Hebrews says, how much more will the blood of Yeshua cover us and deliver us? Hallelujah. Let's go forward. I will take sickness from the midst of you, and the number of your days I will fulfill. Exodus 23. You know, too, it also goes for, you know, not just physical healing. A lot of the scriptures talk about healing of the nation, healing of relationships, healing of your mental state. You know, mental, again, if you are mentally, emotionally distraught, it's been proven scientifically, it's going to affect your body. It's going to trigger things in your body. So healing covers all aspects. Okay, not just individually, but again, relationships. Let me just read you just from my book here, The Covenant of Healing. It says, there are four areas of healing that can apply to our lives. Relational, which starts first with your relationship with God if it has been broken because of sin and rebellion. Repentance must come first, and when your relationship is right with God, the healing process begins. If our relationship with God isn't right, then our relationships with our brothers and sisters and Messiah will not be right, and will need healing as well. Also, when there is national repentance, then healing comes to a nation. When our relationships are in divine order, then comes physical healing, and emotional healing comes as a result of repentance to Shuva and returning to his ways and his truth, which is found in Messiah Yeshua. Again, in this book is a study of 14 different words pertaining to healing in the scriptures. And there's hundreds of promises for healing. And again, you know, something comes, we know, and I'm just going to share it with you. Sometimes it's something we do to our own body. Okay? Also, we're living in a society, too, in a time where we have to watch what foods we eat because there's poisons in food. You know, there's some, these additives and stuff can trigger things in our body. You know, Minister Scott, you know, for years he smoked, you know, but God delivered him from that. But we found out that smoking can contribute to bladder cancer. You know, so again, when he repented of that, you know, repented of ever having to smoke. I think when any of us who started smoking, we started as teenagers. Because, you know, we thought it was cool, you know, peer pressure. Not realizing that we're putting poison into our body. Thank God for his grace and mercy. That even sometimes when we screw up, he turns it around and brings healing to us. Hallelujah. Genesis 23, 25, and 26. But you shall serve Yahweh your Elohim, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. Again, here speaking of the whole congregation of Israel, hallelujah, that he would bless our bread and our water, and he would remove sickness from our midst. 26 says, there shall no one miscarry or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the numbers of your days. Again, the blessings of being obedient. Go to Deuteronomy 7:15. Also, what's important is confessing the word and also worship. Getting before the Lord and worshiping him. You know, there's times when I was under attack with my asthma, and I knew it was because the care and worry was triggering the asthma in me. And I just started putting on worship music, and I just started worshiping him, and that the asthma symptoms would go away. Because I would just for hours just spending worshiping him. Deuteronomy 7:15. Let's begin with 14. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There will be no male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Yahweh will remove from you all sickness, and he will not put on any of the harmful diseases of Egypt which you have known, but he will lay them on all who hate you. Hallelujah. So, you know, we don't have to be afraid when the news gets on. Oh, no, there's an Ebola outbreak. Oh, no, there's this outbreak. Or, no, there's this outbreak. You know what, Father? I thank you that you are, because I'm walking with you, because I love you, and I'm obeying you, and I'm doing everything I know to do to the best of my ability. You said that you would remove all these sicknesses that, and you will not put on any of harmful diseases of Egypt, Egypt being a type of the world. We don't have to fear that. You know, every year we go in, you know, the doctor wants to give us a flu shot. I said, I haven't had a flu shot in over 20 years. I haven't had a flu or a cold in over 20 years, if not more. You know, and they just like, you know, okay. It's like, why? Because I trust God. You know, that he's going to, and he has. It's like, we don't get the flu.
Mm-hmm. Or get sick.
Deuteronomy 11, 9 and 21. Let's begin with verse 8. You shall therefore keep every commandment which I am commanding you today, so that you may be strong and go in and possess the land into which you are about to cross to possess it, so that you may prolong your days on the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers to give to them and to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. Even if you read some of the, because I was looking up some of the rabbinical commentaries on healing as well, and they says that it's the duty of a person to be healed, to go to a doctor, to be well. You know, to God wants us to enjoy this life. He didn't put us in this world to be miserable. Okay, he created the world to enjoy. Hallelujah, to enjoy life, to enjoy our time here, to serve him and influence as many people as we can for God. Because the only thing we're going to be able to take with us to heaven are other people that we've led to him. Hallelujah, not our things. King Tut found that out. Hallelujah, you know, all those things that the Egyptians, you know, buried with them to make sure, even including their servants and their wives, guess what? Didn't go with them where they thought. Hallelujah. Verse 21. You know, it's funny too. It's like I hear people say, well, you know, maybe it's not God's will to heal. Did you go to a doctor? Yeah. Well, if you don't think it's God's will to heal, why are you going to a doctor then to get healed? Again, does that make any sense? If you really believe it's not God's will to heal you, then why are you going to a doctor? Because God gives doctors the knowledge to bring health and healing. When you think of it, it's kind of funny. Here, let's go back to verse, again, Deuteronomy 11. Let's go back to verse 18. You shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your forehead. Okay, this is speaking of tefillin, that in Israel, they would, and observant Jewish people, put tefillin, wrap it around the mind. Why? Symbolic of meditating on the word and keeping that word in your mind. Wrap it on your arm. Why? Close to your heart, that word is in your heart, stays in your heart. You shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. That's why we put a mezuzah on our door. Hallelujah. Writing that this house belongs to God. That the people that are living in this house are servants of the Most High God. So that your days and the days of your sons may be multiplied on the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens remain upon the earth. For if you are careful to keep all the commandment which I am commanding you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and hold fast to him, then Yahweh will drive out all those nations from before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. Again, when Israel walked in obedience to God, there was, I don't care how great of an army their enemies had, they couldn't defeat them. Because they were walking with God, and God had his angels fighting with them, and God was fighting with them and for them. He said he would turn the curse into a blessing because he loves us. Deuteronomy 23, verse 5. And just for context of this, let's just read it first. Nevertheless, the Lord your God was not willing to listen to Balaam, but Yahweh your Elohim turned the curse into a blessing for you because of Yahweh your Elohim. Again, Balaam was trying to curse, put a curse on Israel. And instead of a curse, The only thing that came out of his mouth was blessings. Okay, if anybody tries to curse us, it's going to fall to the ground. Hallelujah. You know, because there's enemies out there that are praying against God's people. There are witches out there and demon worshipers that are praying against God's people. But you know what? No weapon formed against us can prosper, and every tongue that rises against us shall be shown to be in the wrong. But we have to stand against that. And God is not going to allow any curse come upon us that, you know, that is contrary to his word. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. He has redeemed us from every sickness and every plague. Now, Deuteronomy 28 are the blessings of obedience. This is just one of them. And the curses. Okay, I'm just going to read the blessings because the curses are really long. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey Yahweh your Elohim, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, Yahweh your Elohim will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey Yahweh your Elohim. Again, the blessings come by obedience. And that hasn't changed in Messiah either. He said, if you love me, you're going to obey my commandments, plural. What commandments were they? The commandments that God gave in the Torah. That's what he taught. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Yahweh shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you, and they will come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Yahweh will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you set your hand to do. He will bless you in the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you. Yahweh will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim and walk in his ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of Yahweh, and they will be afraid of you. Yahweh will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beast, and in the produce of your ground, and in the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers to give you. Yahweh will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you will lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Yahweh will make you the head and not the tail. You will only be above, you will not be underneath. If you listen to the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I charge you today to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today to the right or the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. And then we have the consequences, again, the curses and all the curses. One of the part of the curses includes sickness, mental sickness, physical sickness. And God says, that's not his will. You know, that's what happens when we walk away from his will. But God says he wants to bless us in every area of our life. You know, if you're not healthy, how are you going to do your job well? If you're not healthy, how are you going to run your business? How are you going to, you know, take care of your family? Again, your health affects everything that you're doing. If you're sick, how are you going to fulfill the thing that God's called you to do? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, Yeshua here gives us a test, okay? This is how you know whether, if it's for me or not. The enemy comes but for one thing, to steal, to kill, to destroy. What did Yeshua say? I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So if there's something coming into your life that's killing you, stealing from you, destroying from you, it's not from God. And we need to take authority over that and not receive it. So let's go forward. I'm going to go now. I'm going to skip over to New Testament. I'll cover some of these. Healing the apostolic scriptures, okay? So, number one, did Yeshua ever do anything that wasn't God's will? No. What did he say? Everything the Father tells me to do, I do. So if healing wasn't God's will, then why was Yeshua healing people? Because it was God's will. for his people to be healed. So let's look at Matthew 8, verse 3. Now again, the Tanakh, the Torah, and all through, there's more scriptures here in the Psalms and the prophets talking about healing, national healing, individual healing. The Torah already sets the foundation, the principle of healing. And we see it carried through, again, in the apostolic scriptures or renewed covenant, Matthew 8, 3. Let's begin with verse 2. And a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, Yahweh, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, if you had leprosy back then, you had to shout out, unclean, unclean. So people knew, because it was highly contagious, that there was a leper in the area. So can you imagine, number one, how humiliating that had to be when you went out in public and you had to scream out, unclean, unclean. But he heard about Yeshua, who made the lepers clean. He said, Yahweh, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Yeshua stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So Yeshua showed the will of the Father. And he says, are you willing? Yes, Yeshua is willing to make us clean. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 8, 17 now. Let's begin with verse 14. When Yeshua came into Peter's home, or Kepha was his Hebrew name, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried our diseases. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Again, a prophetic word of what the Messiah would do. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Yahweh been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, speaking of Yeshua, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. For he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastising for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Hallelujah. That's a covenant promise. By his scourging, every sin, every sickness and disease he took upon himself for us. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You need to believe that you are the righteousness of God and Messiah. That's why the two books I give out now are Who We Are in Messiah and Healing. You need to know this. You need to know what your position is in Messiah, and you need to know that healing is his will. Why? Because I don't want any of us to go before our time, because we've got a work to do. If all the righteous people were taken out of the way, who's gonna preach the gospel to people? Who's gonna share it to them about the love of Yeshua? That's what the enemy wants to do. That's what he's trying to do through this radical Islam. He's wiping out Christians in other countries. There's one nation, they're practically totally wiped out, dying for their faith and refusing to deny Messiah. And they've got a special place, hallelujah, under the throne, under the very throne of God. Let's go to Matthew 8:17. Again, we read that. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Again, I've emailed you guys, prayers to say, confessions to say, thank you, Father, that you took my infirmities and you carried away my diseases. I received that healing. I received that from you. there's different ways that God will bring healing, you know. It could be as somebody's teaching, or it could be as I'm teaching, a word of knowledge comes, and God, all of a sudden God says, I'm healing somebody of this, you know, somebody's believing God, of a heart disease or something, a word of knowledge would come, and that means that time God is healing that situation. There's also the laying on of hands. That's another way healing comes. Okay, but you have to be prepared to receive it as well. You have to, when you come up to receive prayer for healing, you need to believe that you're going to receive that. By believing, again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And we don't wait until the last minute to get the word in us about healing. We need to every day soak ourselves in the word, hide that word in our heart. So when the enemy tries to come and snuff us out before our time, we're standing strong on the word. Let's go to Matthew 14, 14. You know, our faith, you know, was put to the test when we, you know, got that report, you know, with Minister Stepp. You know, now it's like either we believe the word or we don't. This is it. You know, okay, you preach it. Now, do you believe it? Yes, we do, because we've had such a peace. And I know that it's from the prayers. I mean, we feel the prayers of the people. But even when the enemy tries to, you know, make us look at the worst case scenario, it's like, no, I have peace, Father. I know that you're in control and that you are watching over your word to perform it, and you are bringing healing to him, you know, healing to Minister Scott. And it's the same thing when we're, if any one of you, we're standing with you for healing. We're not praying, well, if it be thy will. You pray, if it be thy will, if you don't know his will and you don't have word to stand on. You know, if it be thy will is a prayer of consecration. It's like, you know, going to the mission field. You don't know if it's God's will for you to go to the mission field or something. You know, it's, Father, whatever your will is. You know, sometimes you don't know his will for a certain thing, but we know his will when it comes to healing. We know his will when it comes to finances. God promises people prosperity and blessing as part of our covenant. And we need to stand on that no matter what the checkbook looks like. You know, say, thank you, Father. We're prosperous. I thank you, Father, that you show us ways, that you're watching over your word to perform it. Your word is true. Hallelujah. And you know, God is faithful. Matthew 14, 14. Let's begin with 13. And when Yeshua heard about John, referring to John or Yochanan the Immerser, the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. So again, he felt compassion. He didn't feel compassion, so it was too bad you're sick. He felt compassion and he healed them. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 4, 23. Yeshua was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel, or in Hebrew, the Besorah of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. What I do too, again, I highlight these promises in my scripture, in my Bible. I highlight them, I write them down, I keep them before my eyes, because why? This is a way that helps me get locked in where it is in scripture and get it locked into my heart. Whatever works for you. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering from various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Period. He healed them. Do these diseases exist today? Yes, they do. Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's in Acts chapter 4, in Acts chapter 3. Let's go to Acts chapter 3 real quick. I mean, we've been studying that, but it just came to me. So let's just look at that real quick. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention because he expected to receive something from them. He goes, okay, they're going to give me some money to help me. But they have something better in mind. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Nazarene, walk." Commanded him, walk. What? In the name. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. Again, Peter believed that he grabbed him and expected him 100% to get up and walk. And later on, Peter says, don't look at us as if we're the ones that did this. It was the name of Yeshua. We have to have faith in the name of Yeshua, because he is the healer. We are his vessels. He gave us the authority of his name to do this. Because demons have to bow at the name of Yeshua. Not at your name, at the name of Yeshua. We pray in his name upon his authority. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 9:29. Let's go back to Matthew 9:29. Let's begin with verse 27. Yeshua went on from there, two blind men following him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." Okay, that was a messianic title. When he entered the house, the blind man came up to him, and Yeshua said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, master." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened, and Yeshua sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him throughout all the land. You want to get news out? Tell people not to tell anything to anybody. Hallelujah. Yeshua, again, healed them of their blindness. But he wanted to find out where they were at. Do you believe that I can do this? Do we believe that Yeshua can heal us, no matter what the report? Do we believe? Yes, we do. But that's something each of us has. I can't have faith for you. You have to have that faith in his name. I can give you the word. The word's going to give you the faith to receive. If you feel doubt, then you need to get more word in you until you know that you know that you know. Thank you, Yeshua. You are my healer. And we cannot limit him. He healed the deaf. He healed the blind. He healed the paralytic. He healed those with sickness. And there's nothing that he can't do. Again, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Beginning with verse 1. Yeshua summoned his 12 disciples, or Talmudim, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. So they went out under the authority of Yeshua to heal and deliver people, to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Hallelujah. So again, he gave them the authority. It was upon his authority that they went out and did what Yeshua was doing in his name. It was a calling card. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 12:15. Let's go to Okay, let's begin with verse 1. At that time, Yeshua went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read when David did when he became hungry? He and his companions, how he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone? Or have you not read in the Torah that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would have not condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Departing from there, he went into their synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Yeshua, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. Hallelujah. So again, Yeshua again sets the precedent, because they were trying to get him into a legal bind. They're trying to accuse him of doing something that was unlawful. But what did he do? He just confronted them back with the word. You know, and he says that it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath, which includes healing. If anything, I believe that this is the day, you know, you can receive any healing any day, but I believe the Sabbath is especially, because this is the day that God has sanctified, that he has blessed and set apart to receive healing, to receive restoration for you, so you can go through the rest of the week healthy. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews 13, verse 8. And I believe in God. This is where my faith is, you know, and that when people are going to start coming here, they're going to be hearing about Yeshua, and the word says that signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. And that's what I'm believing for, signs and wonders following. People getting delivered. People getting healed. People getting saved and set free. Hallelujah. And learning about the Torah and the feast and the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. If you don't believe, then you're not going to receive. Hallelujah. And those of you that want prayer as well, we're going to lay hands, we're going to anoint you with oil and pray again for healing. But remember, healing is progressive. Hallelujah. When you come up, you're believing God that, hey, I'm receiving that healing. I'm receiving, as we are standing in the Word, God is working in our body. Hallelujah. To bring forth healing. Yes, I want Hebrews 13:8. Again, the word says Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he healed when he walked the earth, he hasn't changed when it comes to healing. Now he uses us, and he has given us the authority of his name to bring healing to people and to lay hands on people. Let's go to Romans 8. And a lot of times it's hard for us to receive from God because we don't believe that God loves us. I know that was hard for me to believe for a while, that God would actually love me. But I read in his word, and one of the scriptures he gave me was this scripture, Romans 8. Because the enemy was trying to convince me that God didn't love me and I couldn't get set free and delivered. Believe me, I needed deliverance, you know, when I first came to him. But I didn't know how to receive it, you know, because the church I was going to didn't know how to really, you know, teach that. And the enemy was just attacking my mind, where I thought I was going crazy. You know, I knew I was born again. I loved Yeshua. I loved him and I wanted to serve him. But mentally, I was under attack. And I felt that, you know, well, you know, there's no, you know, God doesn't love me. Why would God love me? You know, I've done too much. And a lot of times when it comes to healing for us, we have those same doubts. Well, why would God want to heal me? Why would God, want to set, you know, set me free? Why would God want to bless me? Well, here he gave me Romans 8. Let's begin with verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Again, that's the importance of being Spirit-filled and having your prayer language. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he would be the firstborn born among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then can we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? That includes healing. That includes the finances we need. That includes restoration, spirit, soul, and body. He already gave us the best, and that was Yeshua. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Messiah Yeshua, he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Messiah? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. And again, Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. We need, with faith, is trusting God. Do we trust God? Is his word true? Yes, it is. Hallelujah. We had another kind of shocker brought to us. Not a shocker, but the house we just moved into, our landlord, said, oh, well, you know, I'm being transferred to Houston, so I'm going to be, you know, possibly, I'm going to probably be selling the house, and, you know, but I'll still honor, you know, the lease and everything. And I was just like, oh, great. You know, it took us almost a year just to get settled. God was already preparing us ahead of time, you know, so. And get rid of stuff, you know, getting downsizing, you know, like, do we really need this? Nope, don't need it. But it was just still great, you know. But, you know, Father, you gave us this place to live. You'll find another place for us to live even better. You know, so again, he was trying, you know, the enemy was trying to distract us. We're already believing God for this, and now we've got this coming on us. You know, and I was just like, you know, Father, I trust you. And again, that peace came. And that peace is him letting you, it's going to be okay. It doesn't matter what the doctor says, it's going to be okay. It doesn't matter what your landlord says or your boss says, it's going to be okay. Because I have something better for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're believing God, okay, Father, you have something better for us. You know, and you're going to make a way and you're going to provide for us. But again, that's what faith is all about. Not being shook up by the bad report. Not being shook up like the 12 leaders, only two believed God. The rest were believing what they saw, not what God said. You know, God said, I'm giving you the land. He says, but there's giants in the land. But, in other words, calling God a liar. You know, well, God, you can't do that. You can't possibly do that. you know, calling him a liar. And because of that, they forfeited going into the land until the next generation was ready to go in. I don't want to, you know, be that way. And, you know, again, this is the good report here. And the good report is, God says, I have given you healing. Healing is part of the covenant. It is part of our covenant. It's a part of the covenant with Israel. It's a part of our covenant. It's God's will, or else Yeshua would not have gone around and healed all who were sick or cast out demons if it wasn't God's will.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It is God's will, but we have to know that we know that we know in here that it's God's will. And we have to watch the words that come out of our mouth. Let's go to, I'm going to end with this. I think Proverbs 4, I think, is what I want. And we all have to catch ourselves. You know, a lot of times it's, you know, it's so easy. You know, people, how are you doing? Oh, you know, it's like this is going on, what's going on. You know, it's, you know, it says, it is well. It is well. Because guys, you know, people want to hear all the gory details. Well, tell me what's wrong. It is well. God's in control. We're standing on the word, even in spite of the circumstances. Proverbs 4. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So this is what we have to do. This is our job. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their bodies. This is a matter of life and death. If you want life, then you need to incline your ears to what God says. You need to not let them depart from your sight. What the word says, we need to commit them into the midst of our heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you'll know right away if you're in faith, when you get a bad report or you hear something negative, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth?
Oh, no.
Right. Oh, no. Well, what are we going to do? Oh, no. You know, it's like, Father, I thank you that you meet all my needs according to your riches.
Yeah, what did I say?
Hallelujah.
So that means he's got a better house for us.
Amen. Hallelujah. Again, verse 20, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, from out of the flow the springs of life. We need to guard our hearts. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. What is devious speech? It's more than swearing. It's speaking contrary to the word. That's devious speech. Disagreeing with what God's word says. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left, nor turn your foot from evil. Hallelujah. You should memorize that scripture, highlight it, look up the Hebrew words for it, get it in your heart. God is saying, this is the key to healing. This is the key to being victorious in every area of your life. You know what I do when I find myself too, like, maybe low in one area, like maybe I'm having an issue with walking in love with people, or I'm having an issue of something. I find the scriptures and I start confessing those scriptures. I get offended easy. Well, I find scriptures. Oh, you know, Lord, you said we're not to be offended. I thank you that I walk in love, that I believe the best of every person. You know, we build ourselves up with the word. We encourage ourselves with the word. What did David do when he was under attack? What it looked like that nothing was going to come to pass that God said would come to pass. He encouraged himself in the word. He reminded himself of God's promises. He reminded himself of the faithfulness of God. And that's what we do. We remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God. You know, again, God uses doctors. We're not telling you not to take medicine, not to go to doctors, but they do not have the final say-so. Hallelujah. If anything, when you're standing on the word, it's going to be a testimony to them that the word is true. Hallelujah. Elvino McCain, our Father, our King, Father, we thank you that your word is true, Father. Father, that your word erases all doubt and unbelief. I thank you, Father, that you are watching over your word to perform it, that our angels hearken to the voice of Yahweh, that is your word. Father, I thank you that we can stand on our healing covenant. Father, you said with long life will you satisfy us and show us our salvation. We have a work to do. We're not ready, Father, to stop that yet. We need to accomplish your work here on this earth, and we have to do it healthy. We have to do it whole. We have to do it in your strength and in your power in the name of Yeshua. Father, I just thank you that for everyone here, Father, that you are the healer. And Father, when we come, you said that the believers shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Father, that we believe we receive that promise. And that, Father, as we lay hands on the sick, as we anoint with oil, as you commanded, Father, that we will be healed and made whole, Father, for your kingdom and your glory, for your praise and your honor, Father. Father, circumcise our lips, Father. Help us to be careful, Father, of the words that come out of our mouths, Father, even when it comes to speaking about other people. We cannot speak evil over people. We cannot speak discouragement over people. We need to speak the word of life over them, not just ourselves, but others, Father, who are standing on the word. Father, I praise you and thank you, Father, that this place is filled to overflowing. Father, I thank you that you use every single one of us, Father, to bring healing in the name of Yeshua, to bring deliverance in the name of Yeshua, to preach your kingdom with boldness in the name of Yeshua, Father. Father, that we walk by the Spirit, we operate in the gifts of the Ruach, Father. We listen to the voice of the Ruach, Father, and the voice of the stranger we will not follow. I thank you that we stir up the gifts within us, Father, and we give you all praise and glory, Father. We want to be used as the first century apostles were used, Father, as the first century believers were used, because this generation needs it like never before, Father. This generation needs to be stirred up, Father, among your people first, Father, so we can go boldly and proclaim the good news with signs and wonders following. Hallelujah, because that's what you said in your word, Father, and we stand on it and we receive it in Yeshua's name. Amen.